Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Good morning to you. Welcome in on your Monday morning. If you're headed off to work today, maybe it's your last work day of the week. I don't know. I've got two work days this week. I'll be here today and I'll be back on Friday. And then I'll have a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday off to spend with the family for the Christmas holiday. And, of course, looking forward to that. Kim St. Ange has the week off. Carl Middleman is off today. So it's me and Ethan holding down the fort. And Drew in there manning the phones and the computers this morning, and we appreciate you if you're listening in this morning. Lots of good stuff still to get to. We're going to talk to Ashley Smith Thomas here in a few minutes. We talked a little bit about this with her, I think a week ago, maybe, and that was the change that's about to come to Washington, D.C. at these different cabinet level positions and, you know, with Tom Homan and some of the other things that are going on. And then he up and commutes the death row sentences of 37 people yesterday. It's like out of nowhere. It's unbelievable. Some of these people committed, raped and killed 12-year-old children. Just the most horrible people you could ever imagine. And we're going to feed them and clothe them and give them, you know, a warm place to sleep for the rest of their miserable lives. I don't understand that. We'll talk to Ashley about that. Also, Congressman-elect Bob Onder coming up here in the next segment. So be sure and stay tuned for that. But right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
St. Louis Metro Police confirmed just in the last hour that it was four people who were hit as a car came driving through the crowd tonight. The oldest, they tell us, a man in his 70s. The youngest, that 12-year-old.
Channel 5 reporting on this accident that happened in front of Ted Drew's last night. We're getting a few more details, and it's just a mess, right? The 19-year-old left the scene, but then did come back and turn himself in. So we're going to get more details on that as the morning unfolds.
And also, I never believed that it was about fascism. And for me, that made it difficult for
Kamala Harris said that he was a fascist.
Yeah, well, it's like that's her prerogative. I mean,
John Fetterman there pushing back on this whole lie through the whole election that somehow it's Donald Trump who's the fascist that's going to attack his political opponents and not what the Democrats have been doing for the last 8 years.
We're grateful that everyone stood together to do the right thing. And having gotten this done now as the last order of business for the year, we are set up for a big and important new start in January.
The risk of sounding like Lurch. Mike Johnson is not on. He's on the naughty list as far as I'm concerned, the Speaker of the House there, because, you know, he's trying to placate both sides, and the Republicans missed a real opportunity, in my opinion, to actually take a stand on debt reduction.
You lost, Democrats, you lost because you lied about January 6th, calling it worse than Pearl Harbor or 9/11, instead of what January 6th really was, the FBI guided tour of the Capitol building.
Yeah, thank you. Rob Schneider at a TPUSA event last night in Arizona getting a big round of applause for that comment. And boy, that's the truth. It was a guided tour of the Capitol building by FBI informants, right? There's still reports out there that there's videotape they won't release for fear of unveiling FBI informants who were in the crowd. If the FBI knew they were there, they knew what was coming. The Capitol Police knew what was coming. That they had a handful of people who were going to try to break into the Capitol building, and they let it happen because they preferred to deal with the fallout of it and blame it on Donald Trump. I mean, there are people out there who've now still completely lost their ever-loving minds over this. One of them is the former congressman from over here in Illinois, right? Joe Walsh. He's as bad as Adam Kinzinger ever was, and maybe on par with Liz Cheney. Hates Donald Trump. And he hates the fact that people like Fetterman, who you heard there in the beginning, are telling the truth about the lies told during the election. It wasn't fascism. It wasn't, he's not some threat like Hitler to the whole free world. But suddenly we're okay with it. We're just going to turn the keys over to him. I mean, you can't believe both things. And the fact that it's a peaceful transition of power just shows they never thought he was Hitler. They never thought he was going to destroy American democracy. They just lied to you. They asked Walsh about it this morning. He's particularly angry with John Fetterman. And remember, this guy is supposed to be a Republican. He used to be anyway. When he served in Congress, he had an R after his name. Long gone.
You either believe Donald Trump is an existential threat to our democracy or you don't. Clearly, Bret Stephens doesn't. Clearly, by the way, John Fetterman doesn't. Chill out. Chill out with everything Trump is doing right now. You know, Eamon, it just freaking pisses me off.
What all is Donald Trump doing right now? He's not even in office yet. And this guy is apoplectic. He's ready to jump off a cliff somewhere. They can't stand it that they were wrong. They won't utter the words that they were wrong. They're standing by their theory. And 4 years from now, when the economy has completely recovered and gas prices are $1.80 again, and the inflation rate is down and grocery prices are down and the border is secure, I would look for that guy to I'd check on his well-being. I don't think he's still around then. I got to be honest with you. By the way, speaking of what Donald Trump is going to do, one of the things that people like Joe Walsh seem to be the most concerned about is border security. Donald Trump is going to secure the border, right? Just in the nick of time. So just in case you know, did you see the story out of New York yesterday where there was a subway rider who fell asleep waiting on her train? And somebody set her on fire and watched her burn to death. Well, they've now arrested somebody in that death. And guess what? He's an illegal alien from Guatemala. Imagine that. Happened at 7:30 a.m. on the F train at Coney Island. Shocked commuters watched as it happened. And it killed the woman. The woman died, right? And they arrest this guy who, I don't know if he poured lighter fluid on her and then he hit her clothing with it and she became fully engulfed and I guess stop, drop, and roll didn't work. And although they extinguished the flame, the victim died at the scene. And the 33-year-old suspect came to the U.S. in 2018 from Guatemala. He was detained by Border Patrol agents in Arizona in June of that year, right? Sources said, but his legal status wasn't immediately clear on Sunday night. So even if he came in during the Trump's era, which is what it sounds like, if he got here in 2018, he had never been deported and was living apparently at a shelter somewhere in Rhode Island or Long Island, I should say. So that's the direct result of the Biden lack of border policy and enforcement of detention orders and deportation orders in the United States. All right, coming up, Dr. Bob Onder takes office, gets sworn in as a United States Congressman for the 3rd District on January 3rd. He's going to join us right after the break.
St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Follow the show on Facebook. Facebook.com/The Mark Cox Show.
We're grateful that everyone stood together to do the right thing. And having gotten this done now as the last order of business for the year, we are set up for a big and important new start in January.
Well, that's certainly what we're hoping for, right, when the new Congress gets sworn in on January 3rd. And standing in the chamber that day, taking the oath, will be Dr. Bob Onder, the incoming congressman-elect there in the 3rd Congressional District. I've got him on the phone this morning. Bob, welcome back.
It's great to be back, Mark. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you. Glad I got to see you at a holiday party a couple weeks ago. That was fantastic. And
sure was.
I know you've started the transition to Washington. Didn't you just learn some of the committees you're going to be on? Is that true?
Yes, I did, Mark. I learned last Monday that I will be serving on the Judiciary Committee and on the Education and Workforce Committee. Two extremely important committees. Of course, the Judiciary Committee has been very involved in border and public safety issues. Needless to say, the Education Committee will be very busy protecting women's sports, fighting wokeness and indoctrination in our schools. I couldn't be happier with my committee assignment.
Well, congratulations on that. I know it's a lot. It's probably like drinking from a fire hose when you get up there as an incoming freshman, understanding it all. But, you know, you're watching from a distance here while this debate's going on about the CR last week. And I'm anxious to get your take on how you would have voted if you'd had a vote in it. And are you satisfied with how it turned out?
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's drinking from a fire hose. Sometimes it's Chinese water torture. but last week was a little more of the latter. I mean, look, I think ultimately the CR went in the right direction. That first CR that was rolled out looked an awful lot like a pork-laden omnibus with a lot of unrelated policy issues, at the same time, even the final CR had all the disaster assistance stuff, and I don't know that anyone ever really explained to my satisfaction anyway where they got the figure $130 billion. I mean, heaven knows there was a lot of disaster. There were a lot of destruction wrought by the hurricane, but much though covered by private insurance, and FEMA already has a budget. Where did that number come from?
Yeah.
So I at the end of the day, the CR improved, but it was not a clean CR. And let's remember, CRs just continue spending at an already ridiculously high level. So I am doubtful I would have supported that.
Yeah, I wonder. You know, I know Eric Burleson voted against it twice, and I had him on, I think, last week talking about it. It seems to me, my observation is that they blew an opportunity. If the government had actually shut down for the week and a half until you take office, and then the new Congress would have had a chance to vote on this, it wouldn't have been the end of the world. I mean, it's not like the lights were going to turn off on government.
Yeah, that's right. Over the decades, we have had over 20 shutdowns. Mark Levin explains this very well in his show, including two during the Reagan administration, two under Newt Gingrich. And, and many times CRs do get used as leverage because, remember, the Democrats are the party of government. They are the ones who freak out when the government shuts down. The rest of us, unless we have a visit to the national park scheduled, we don't notice it. The military gets paid. Social Security checks go out. Really, 78% of the government continues to run just as usual.
So what kind of, we're talking to incoming Congressman Bob Onder from the 3rd Congressional District. What kind of insight can you give us, Bob, on what the discussions have been on an agenda moving forward? I'm going to assume for a moment that's going to include a Speaker Mike Johnson, but does everybody seem to be on the same page? Because if you get one or two strays like we got last time around, I mean, it could prevent a lot of good things from happening.
Well, that's right. I think we will be united on the Trump agenda, which is my agenda. Number one, securing the border. Number two, renewing the Tax Cut and Jobs Act from 2017. Otherwise, we will be faced with massive increases in individual taxes, small business taxes, in the death tax. We will pay for that by cutting back and eliminating some of these ridiculous green energy subsidies and the COVID funds that are still out there. And and unspent. We really need to reverse the Biden agenda, usher in a new era of prosperity and safety and security. And I think we'll be united behind that, Mark.
Yeah, the minute you start talking about cutting anything, it's the same. They pull out the same playbook. You're starving seniors, you know, all these people. They've never put together a government program that's gotten smaller. So they're going to start screaming bloody murder the minute you start decreasing the size of any of them. Do you have any confidence, Bob, that DOGE is going to have a real impact on that swamp up there?
Well, it will be a struggle. You're right. I think there are a lot of people who are behind DOGE in theory, but when it comes to cutting, they lose their stomach. I mean, look, I've been in favor of cutting a lot of things in Missouri state government, including resisting expansions of Medicaid repeatedly, both Obamacare and Bidencare. But you know, our fellow Republicans aren't always with us on that.
No, that's very true. So now you get sworn in on the 3rd. You immediately start working, like, will you guys start taking votes that day or putting committees, like committee hearings?
You know, I'm not sure whether there will be votes that day, but we have learned that Speaker Mike Johnson, assuming he is the speaker, intends to keep us in that weekend. The 3rd falls on a Friday. He's going to keep us that weekend to work on the so-called reconciliation bill. The reconciliation is just a process by which the House can pass something and avoid the Senate filibuster in the Senate, can be passed by a simple majority vote. So, yeah, we're going to be working on that right away. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, it's an exciting time for you and your lovely wife, and wish you a very Merry Christmas and congratulations on becoming the next congressman from Missouri.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's an honor and a privilege, and Merry Christmas to you and your family,
yep.
Mark.
We'll talk to you again soon. That is soon-to-be Congressman Bob Onder, a congressman-elect for the 3rd Congressional District and heading off to D.C. here. Well, he's already been up there quite a bit already, but you got to find a place to stay. He's gotten his office assignment now, and now it's just a matter of getting down to business. Let's hope they do it. I mean, I really do. But my question there was sincere. As much as we all brag about DOGE, when you get back to the office and the lobbyists are calling you and your donors are calling you, do you still vote the same way you told those guys you're going to vote? I mean, I think a lot of people like Bob will, like Eric Burleson will, but it's going to be a bit more of a pull for some of the folks we've got sitting in the United States Congress. So I'm hoping for the best. I'm cautiously optimistic. I know they're going to do some good things. I'm hoping they would do some dramatically good things. And that's the thing that I'm a little more cautious about right now. Keep our fingers crossed, right? And we'll stay on them here on the radio for sure. Coming up, we're going to talk to our friend Jessie Jane Duff. She spent a lot of time down in Mar-a-Lago this year working for the Trump campaign. I'm going to get her take on that TPUSA conference they had out in Arizona this weekend and some of the great comments from President Trump. We'll get to all that and more coming up.
Executive action on day one. Yes, he will use the power of his pen to deliver on many of the promises he made to the American people on the campaign trail to secure the southern border, to fast track permits for fracking, for drilling, and to also take executive action to stop some of the transgender insanity that we have seen take over this country. I think the American people are going to be pleased with what they see from President Trump within mere minutes of his return to the Oval Office.
Yeah, Caroline Leavitt speaking with Marie Bartiromo this weekend. She's like, seriously, what are you doing day one? I heard President Trump say yesterday that he really believes a lot of the things he's going to try to do will start happening by 2 o'clock on January 20th. Listen.
And we're going to change it because your border is a disaster. Your border is a disaster. What's going on? And you just have a few days to wait. We're going to be fully operational, I would say, by about 2 o'clock on the 20th. 20th of January.
Yeah, I don't know. He gets sworn in at, what, noon or something? By 2 o'clock, he's ready to roll. We have Ashley Smith-Thomas on the phone with us this morning, a political strategist, founder, and CEO of Freedom Fund USA. Ashley, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Is that realistic, you think?
Hey, you know what? He has been defying the odds, so we will see. I'm optimistic, and if he can do it, then he's certainly making history.
You know, I had, just before your interview here, I had Congressman-elect Bob Onder on. He's going to be replacing Blaine Lutkemeyer as a Missouri congressperson there in District 3, and he gets sworn in January 3rd. And I said to him, how would you have voted last week on this CR had you been there? And he tells me he probably would have been a no on it, even though he thought the final version was an improvement over the original. This is what concerns me, Ashley, I got to say. I mean, I have cautious optimism that they're going to try to get some things done. But they had an opportunity to go to the mat here and say, go ahead and shut it down for a week and a half. We'll pass what we want when we come back January 3rd. And Mike Johnson and everybody caved, in my opinion.
No, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because when you look at what happened last week, there was just a lot of drama going on there at the House. And you look at this massive stopgap funding bill that was originally put forward by Speaker Johnson. It was 1,500 pages long. And then that caused criticism by President-elect Trump and Elon Musk and some of the conservatives. But then you saw where then on Thursday, Trump and Elon, they worked on a piece of legislation that reduced the pages from 1,500 to 116 pages, which, you know, thankfully it cut a lot of the pork spending. However, with that, the frustration still ensued with the Republicans, because some were still calling for the government to shut down so that they could get what they really wanted. Right. Some were really frustrated with Speaker Johnson because they're tired of him conceding to the Democrats and trying to meet their demands over what the Republicans are trying to get passed. And so on Friday, it was reported that the House finally passed bipartisan bill to get it passed. They removed the request that Trump had, which was to have a $5 trillion debt extension, and that just didn't go over well with Republicans and Democrats, so that was removed. But still, 34 Republicans voted no on the final bill, and so it's interesting just to kind of see the dynamics here. I'm also curious to see what's going to happen with Speaker Johnson. There's been articles written and reports that potentially Jim Jordan, they're looking at him, or Byron Donalds to be the potential speaker, as he's fighting for his speakership, and that will be voted on January 3rd when the new Congress is sworn in. But it's going to be really interesting to just see what happens here within the next week and a half. But I agree with you. I think that people need to stop being afraid of a government shutdown. But again, we've been seeing this and hearing this from Congress for many, many years. They continue to kick the can down the road.
Yeah, they do. There are big opportunities here. You know, one thing that I do. Oh, no. What happened? That was my fault. I bumped a button over here and we've cut off Ashley. So we'll try to get her back here in just a minute. One of the things I worry about is that in terms of missed opportunities is the fact that how do they guarantee that Joe Biden, there's no way to guarantee he doesn't do more damage before he leaves town, right? I mean, there's just no way to guarantee that. And hold on, do we have Ashley back? All right, hang on just a minute. Let me get her. Ashley, sorry about that. My fault. I hit a wrong button here. My apologies. Are you there?
No worries.
Okay.
Yes, I'm
so
here.
So my concern is, you know, what other damage can Joe Biden do before he leaves office? He just commuted the death sentences of everybody on federal death row minus three people yesterday. And I don't believe he's the one that took that action.
No, I completely agree with you. I think there's someone else running the show here. He's pretty much checked out. And basically what is just shocking is some of these decisions that are coming from him and his administration. And in a way, I just feel like they're basically giving the American people the middle finger. And it's really unfortunate what we're seeing and these decisions that are coming from, quote, Biden. But again, I don't really believe that it's him. I think that there's someone else that's driving this. And it's also interesting, too, what I'm concerned about between now and January 20th. You know, you hear from Biden, you also heard this from Harris, that all they wanted was a smooth transition. But really, these actions that are taking place with these pardons, and then also giving billions of dollars away to Africa, continued billions of dollars to Ukraine. It's basically really teeing things up that's going to make it difficult for Trump when he comes in.
Yeah.
And so my concern is from a national security standpoint, you know, tensions are continuing to rise with Iran. It's continuing to rise with Russia. Where are we going to be at regarding to that? Plus our open border, plus this is the suspicion of these drones, for example, what they're doing. I just think that there is just a lot of things happening that are of concern that I think is going to make it difficult for Trump between now and January 20th.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, this Turning Point USA event out in Phoenix, or it was in Arizona for sure this weekend. Huge crowd. Younger crowd cheering on Donald Trump and Rob Schneider and the other people that spoke out there. That, I don't know about you. I mean, you're a lot younger than I am. But that gives me a lot of hope for the future, because this is an organization that I think had an impact in the November election and will have an impact moving forward, because I worry about the future for my grandkids.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that Turning Point has done a really good job. Charlie Kirk has done a great job really trying to engage young students, particularly in high school and on college campuses. He really gives thought-provoking conversations, challenges them on their ideas, trying to make them defend themselves and why they believe what they believe, but then also sheds light on truth and then presents truth to them. And so I would say that he really was a force multiplier when it came to reaching the next generation. And so it is encouraging to see this, especially when you see thousands of young people there at the AmFest there in Phoenix over the weekend, ready to go, feeling inspired to continue the fight. So I would say that Charlie definitely has done a very good job in terms of engaging the next generation, and to think how much more he'd be able to reach come the next presidential cycle in 2028. And literally, too, keep in mind, midterms are coming up in 2026.
Yep.
And so when you look at the voter block, one of the largest voter blocks moving forward is going to be that Gen Z generation. And so being able to focus on that particular generation, getting them involved, making politics cool, you know, making President Trump more cool and everything, and you, that really just draws this younger generation. So it's fun to watch. It's great to see that this is happening, and I look forward to seeing where Turning Point goes moving forward, reaching this next generation.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, Ashley Smith-Thomas, we appreciate your time. How can people find out more about Freedom Fund USA?
Yeah, so our website is freedomsfundusa.org. That's freedomsfundusa.org. And you can also follow me on social media. I'm on Facebook, X, and Instagram at Ashley Smith-Thomas.
Very good. Ashley, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Thank you for having me.
All right, take care. I appreciate that. Here's the other part that I missed on this earlier. Ethan, go ahead and play cut 10 for us. Trump makes the normal ending to his speech, and then what he did was fantastic. He went into the Trump dance at the end of it on screen. Now go to cut number 10, please.
And together we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America healthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. Thank you very much. And thank you, Arizona. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you all.
So at this point, Trump turns and looks at the audience and he starts doing the Trump dance, and the crowd went wild. I'm sure they were all doing it in the audience too, and nobody there was ever alive when that song came out. So just continues to poke his finger in the eye of all those crazed liberals out there. I love it. Coming up, we'll talk to our friend Jesse Jane Duff. Tom Ackerman's going to be in here. He probably won't want to talk about college football, but we'll definitely talk about the bragging rights game and what happened yesterday downtown with Illinois and Mizzou. It's all straight ahead on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
The Mark Cox Morning Show. Everything Mark Cox at 971talk.com/Cox.
You're in the daytime. Girl, I want to be with you all of the time.
The only president himself is very cavalier about the sovereignty of another country. Joking about Canada being the 51st state is actually quite serious.
Yeah, that's a... some lady named Simone Sanders on MSDNC. Nobody watches, but I get these clips for you on occasion so you don't have to. I just saved you the trouble. They're on there trying to figure out how many ways Trump has failed before he even takes office, right? Her concern, her primary concern, among other things, is that, well, Donald Trump's got the wrong attitude toward the Ukraine. He wants to give up and cede territory to the Soviet Union and all this stuff. And her argument is that he doesn't respect the sovereign borders of other countries. Yeah, I'm going to let that soak in for a minute. The man who campaigned on securing our southern border, who has had, apparently people have been out trying to buy back the steel that the United States government has tried to auction off from the wall on the southern border. Have you seen that? It was on a government auction site. 5 cents on the dollar. They're selling all of the steel that Trump purchased and put down there to build the wall because they don't want the wall built. So now there are private citizens out there trying to buy it and donate it back to the government so we don't have to buy all that stuff again. I can't think of somebody more worried about America first than Donald Trump. Think about that. Like, he's worried about the sovereignty of the United States of America. No country that has open borders is a sovereign state. You cannot be a sovereign state and have open borders, is another way to put it. You just can't. And so this Simone Sanders gets on MSNBC. She's trying to make some point about him not funding the Ukraine. And she makes the argument that even though he's trying to make a joke about Canada, it's not funny. Because if you combine that with the comments he made about Panama, and it was a trade-related comment, but he said they've been ripping us off for years. We gave them the Panama Canal, and now they stick it to us to get goods through there. And that's going to come to an end, or we'll take it back. Donald Trump's not president yet. The president of that country already responded to it saying, it's ours, you can't have it. Trump's just sitting back going, yeah, we'll see. He will bend to Trump's demands because we're the 900-pound gorilla in the room, and it's time we started acting like it. Listen to what this dense person said on MSNBC.
The president-elect himself is very cavalier about the sovereignty of another country. Joking about Canada being the 51st state is actually quite serious. Right. She's talking about trampling on the sovereignty of the people of Canada, saying that not respecting their borders. It is not a hard line for him. And while it may seem lighthearted, I do think it helps us get a window into why he has said the things that he has said about Ukraine.
Seriously. Could you imagine a more insane clown posse idea than trying to add the population of Canada to the United States? Like, even if Donald Trump wanted to conquer Canada, invited in as the 51st state, which he joked about, he's just doing this to own property in the mind of Justin Trudeau, the prime minister up there. Nobody's afraid of Canada. We shouldn't have to be afraid of Canada. Canada should respect us and the decisions we've made in this country. Trudeau's been a big, obviously, opponent of Donald Trump and his policies, and he's a bit of a dictator. He's outlawed all guns, you name it. I mean, they've got some crazy restrictions in Canada. Did you know, and if you listen often, you might have heard me say this before, I made the point to Kim one day, did you know that the immigration policies in Canada are far more strict than the immigration policies in the United States. And yet, Canada has been allowing people to pass through the northern border to get into the U.S. So they fly into one of these Canadian cities, make their way to an unguarded border area, and then come into our country. And Trump's making the point, yeah, we need to stop this, or maybe we need to turn Canada into the 51st state. It was a joke, but a joke with a point. If you went to Canada tomorrow, if you let's say you're one of these never Trumpers or you know one, and you're going to see them around the Christmas holiday, and they tell you, well, I'm so disgusted with Donald Trump, I might move to Canada. Have at it. Good luck getting a job once you get there. They have rules in Canada where if you apply for a job, they have to make sure there's not a single Canadian citizen who wants the job first before they can give it to a non-citizen. Could you imagine us trying to implement a policy like that in the United States? We'd be accused of all sorts of isms, of racism. How dare you not want to give a job to this poor dark-skinned person from South America? I mean, they would immediately turn. They don't care what color you are in Canada. They don't care. They're just not going to employ you unless if there's a Canadian citizen wants the job first. So I get a little tired of having to be lectured to by people like Simone Sanders, who clearly doesn't understand the issue and doesn't understand that Trump is going to be immensely successful in implementing his policies because of things like this. He owns real estate in the brains of Justin Trudeau and this president down in Panama, and he'll end up getting exactly what he wants as a result of it. He was never going to defund NATO, but he got them to pay their fair share, would be my point. All right, coming up, our friend Jessie Jane Duff. Can't wait to get her on here at about 8:20. Stay tuned.